Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, welcome to the Vineyard VFAM. So good to see you. So good to have those of you joining us online today. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online audience? Come on, let's hear it for them. Online family, just want to let you know that we're having communion at the end of the service today. So you're at home with us right now. You may want to grab some water, some juice, some coffee, some bread, whatever you got. You can join us at the end of the service today. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors. And so, you know, I find it interesting living in Miami that you don't see people serving each other all that often. For example, when I walk into an establishment, a store, a restaurant, and the person in front of me holds open the door and for themselves, but then they hold it open for me too, I'm shocked. When I'm at a four-way stop and somebody waves me through, I'm shocked. When I'm trying to use my blinker to merge lanes in the traffic, what happens in Miami when you turn your blinker on and try and get over? What happens? Everybody speeds up and cuts you off. So when somebody slows down and lets me in, I'm shocked. And I always check the license plate because it's almost always an out-of-town plate. I'm just shocked. But you know what? Do you know what we're doing every time we do that? We're being like Jesus. Every time we serve, because the Bible says that Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life away. This weekend, we're continuing our series called Unfiltered Jesus, where we're looking at who this Jesus really is. Because so many, whether we're raised a certain way, a church background, movies we've seen, ideas we have, we tend to filter Jesus, how we see Jesus through our lens. And so we're in a four-part series. I said, you got to come to all 4 weeks of the series. Even if you miss a week, go online, go to YouTube and search Miami Vineyard. You got to watch the message. So 2 weeks ago, we kicked off the series with, was Jesus really real? Was he like a real historical person? We looked at that in week one. Last week, we looked at Jesus the healer. And so we looked at just a phenomenal story in the Bible of Jesus healing. And then this past Wednesday night, we had a little something happening right here in the room where we had a lab where we prayed for each other, learned how to heal like Jesus did. And so here we are, week three, talking today about Jesus the servant. And look, I'm really excited about today's message because I believe that today's message is going to be impactful on how we see ourselves, how we see others, how we see life, and how we see God. Talk about Jesus the servant. And today, we're going to be looking at a passage that I think you're going to be familiar with. Whether you read the Bible before, whether you've been in church before, chances are you're probably somewhat familiar with this passage. But as we get to the end of the story, I think we're going to see it in a way we've never seen it before. Turn to somebody right now, look at them and tell them, ooh, this is going to be good. Go tell them, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. If you're online with us right now, just put in the chat. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. So I'd love for you to locate, if you would, some message notes. Now, here's how you locate the message notes. They're not printed. They're all virtual, but you find them on our Miami Vineyard app. So if you'd go to the app store, your app store, search Miami Vineyard. If you're in the room today, in the seat back in front of you, there's a card that looks like this. Scan the QR code. It'll take you to the app. Download the Miami Vineyard app. On the app is like our church in your phone, but it also has just tap on this weekend, tap on message notes, and you can find them right there in Spanish and English right there in the app. So today, we're going to be looking at a story in your Bibles found in John chapter 13, which is commonly known today, this whole story, as the Last Supper. It's the final meal Jesus had before he went to the cross. The final meal he had was with followers. And as we walk our way through the passage today, I want to just point out a couple of things we can learn about Jesus. So here we go. John chapter 13, verse 1, reads this way. It was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, that he had come from God, was returning to God. So he got up from the meal. Jesus took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Now, we're going to get more of that story here in just a moment. But here's the first thing I want you to see about Jesus if you're taking notes today. Okay, here's the first thing. Here's the first thing I want you to write down if you're taking notes. Jesus served. He served. That's not only what he did, that was his identity. That's who he was. That's what he came to earth to do, to serve. In fact, look what it says in another passage in the book of Philippians. It talks, speaking to us, look, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a what? Of a servant. Of a servant. Yeah, that's at his core. Jesus was a servant. Let me ask you a question. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? If somebody asks you, how do you see yourself? You say, well, I'm a husband, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, I'm a brother, I'm a sister. Maybe you might say you're a grandparent. Some of you know that 18 months ago, I became a grandparent. I know I'm way too young to be a grandparent, but sometimes things happen. I'm just saying, sometimes things happen. So I just want to show you just a little pic of my grandson. He's 18 months old, little Zion. You see what that is I'm handing to him? You don't think he knows what that is? Look at that. One of my favorite foods in the world is ice cream. I run just so I can eat ice cream. And, you know, the Bible says you should train up a child in the way he should go. So I thought I'd pass along that love for ice cream to Zion. So there you go. So, but let me ask you, how do you see yourself? Do you see yourself in terms of a job? Do you see yourself in terms of accomplishments? Do you see yourself in terms of a degree? You know how Jesus saw himself? As a servant. Think about his birth. He could have been born at the best hospital in the VIP suite, but no. He was born in a barn with the animals looking at him. Why? Because he had no health insurance? No. Because he was a servant. Think about his life. He didn't walk around in designer clothes and the best house and the best camel. He came for one purpose. He came not to be served, but to serve. He was a servant. And here's the one thing I want you to get today. It is in the very nature of God to serve. The same one who created the universe, the same one who created everything, the same one, the same Jesus who the Bible says this about, that at the name of Jesus, one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is the very one who came to serve. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to serve. That's who he is. That's the same one. It's in his DNA to be a servant. And as followers of Jesus, if we call ourselves a Christian, our job is to be like Jesus. Now, here's the good news, okay? Here's the good news. Serving is available to everyone. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how young you are. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, doesn't matter how smart you are, your IQ, how many degrees you have, what language you speak, what kind of finances you have. As I mentioned, doesn't matter if you're old or young. By the way, how do you know if you're old or young? If you have to ask, you old. Okay, that's all I'm saying. So I love these words. I love these words from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Look what he says. Anyone can be great because anyone can serve. Let me say it another way. Anyone can be like Jesus because anyone can serve. I know, listen, sometimes for those of you in the room and online with me right now that you consider yourself a Christian, you consider yourself a Christ follower. Look, I know part of our job when we consider ourselves a Christian is we are supposed to reflect the image of Jesus. That's what we do. We represent Jesus. That's what Christian is, Christian. Christ is in the name, Christian. We represent Jesus. But look, it's a challenge. Problems, issues, all the stuff we have. It's like, Pastor Kevin, dude, I don't know if I'm a really good representation of Jesus. Look, anyone can be like Jesus because anyone can serve. Anyone can serve. And serving happens all over the place, all the time. Do you realize right now, as we're in this room together, and over the course of 3 weekend services here, there's hundreds of volunteers who just simply serve to make this happen. Right now, as we speak, there's people running the sound right now, serving in the sound. There's people right now serving in the production area with watching the screens right now, putting that stuff up on screen. There's somebody right now serving who's translating my words in English into Spanish for our Spanish speakers here in our room right now. They're translating right now in Spanish. They're right over there in that room, right over there. Let's all turn around and wave to them right back in that room back there. Come on. Yeah, there they are right there, translating in Espanol. So look, let's, on the count of three, I want us to just yell gracias, okay? One, two, three. Gracias. Nice. Perfect. Speaking in Spanish, right? Look, right, we got people serving in the hospitality. Right now, there's people taking care of your kids. Aren't you glad? For free. There's people taking care of your youth right now. In a whole different room, just back over in this area right here, just having a blast with the youth. There's hundreds of people serving to make this happen on a weekend and make online happen on a weekend as well. So can we show some love to those people who are serving right now? Come on. We couldn't do what we do without them serving. And if you're online with us right now, look, if you're joining us online, just give a shout out in the chat right now to your online hosts and your online prayer team and the job they're doing right now online with you. So first thing I want you to know today about Jesus, the unfiltered Jesus served. Here's the second thing if you're taking notes. Jesus modeled. Jesus is a role model for everything, including serving. But the disciples of Jesus, they didn't get it. And honestly, they didn't want to get it. They didn't want anything to do with serving. Think about it. They've been with Jesus now for 3 years before we get to the Last Supper. For 3 years, Jesus has been modeling serving, just telling them about serving, teaching them about serving. They didn't want anything to do with serving. That's not what they were about. In fact, they tried to convince Jesus, I know you really want to impact people and influence people, but Jesus, serving is not the way. Jesus, look, if you got to get some followers, Jesus, you got to do this, you got to climb the ladder, you got to do all these things. And Jesus said, no, the way to impact people, the way to love people is to serve. But listen, they weren't having anything to do with it. I want you to notice one line in the story we read earlier. I put it on your notes in verse 2. It says the evening meal was already in progress. Now, let me explain what this means, because that line just sounds so, like, simple. Okay. Here's what you got to know. Back in Jesus' day, whenever you would walk into an establishment, a house, a place of business, especially over at somebody's house for a meal, the first thing that would happen is there would be a servant there to wash your feet. And so this says the evening meal was already in progress, which meant there was no servant there to wash feet. Now, why did people have to get their feet washed before they came into a room? Because back in the day, you got to realize there were no paved streets. There were no paved sidewalks. Roads were dirty and nasty. Back in the day, there was no sewer systems. So all the stuff, you know the stuff I'm talking about? All the stuff would be floating down the streets. Human stuff, dog poop, camel urine. You're going, ooh, yeah, it was ew. All that stuff is just floating down the streets. This is the kind of stuff people tried to avoid, but they would still walk in it from time to time. This is what would happen. And they didn't have shoes like we have today, primitive sandals. And so there's always someone, when you walk into the room, there was always someone whose job it was to wash people's feet as soon as you entered. But here they are in the middle of the meal and their feet have not been washed, meaning there was no servant there. Now, we don't know what happened. Maybe the servant called out sick. Maybe they had COVID. I don't know. We don't know what happened. But all we do know, there was no servant. So Jesus, He watched this whole thing go down. Jesus watched and he waited to see if any of the 12 guys would step up to serve. None of them did. None of them did. This job was way too below us. Jesus, so you know what Jesus did? Jesus stepped up. Now, I'm sure they all had their different excuses, right? Maybe, you know, James, who was one of the older followers of Jesus, he said, hey, look, I'm one of the oldest ones. I did my time serving. Or maybe John was one of the youngest ones. I'm too young. Or Peter, you might remember Peter. Peter, no, man, I'm the teacher. I'm the leader, man. I don't serve. Not unlike maybe some of us today. Maybe we're thinking, you know, I did my serving. Or Pastor Kevin, do you realize how many great things there are on Netflix? Ain't nobody got time to serve. Or maybe we say, hey, do you know who I am? I lead a company. I'm the CEO. I got my own company. I got my own stuff. I got people that do that. I'm not serving. The late founder of the Vineyard Movement was a guy by the name of John Wimber. John Wimber back in the 80s and 90s, John Wimber traveled the world speaking, teaching, preaching. John had a big healing ministry in the early days of the Vineyard Movement back in the 80s and 90s. John Wimber also pastored a local church in Southern California. And so John, because of John's worldwide ministry, you can imagine all these different guys, especially guys and pastors and that wanted to be with him, travel with him, be on his team, be part of it. And so John, many of them would contact John. John would say, okay, well, come by, fly over here, wherever you are, drive over here, see me. And he'd meet him in his office. So hundreds of these guys over the years met John and wanted to be on his team. And John would tell everyone the same thing. They'd say, John, I love what you're doing. I want to be on your team. I want to be on the stage. I want to do what you do. Okay. John said, okay, I hear you. But here's what I want you to do first. And he gave him a garbage bag. He said, I want you to go out to the parking lot. I want you to pick up all the trash. And when you finish, bring it back to me. They said, well, no, what? John, I don't think you understand what I just said. John, I'm a pastor. I'm a leader. John, I'm a teacher. John, I want to be on the platform with you. He said, yeah, I heard you. But first, I want you to take this bag, go out in the parking lot, pick up all the trash, and bring it back. Hundreds of pastors over the years had this conversation with John, and John gave them the same response. How many pastors do you think over the years went around and picked up the trash and brought it back to John? How many? Zero. Zero pastors went around to pick up trash and bring it back to John. John was simply testing them. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? He was doing just like Jesus. He watched, he waited, he watched, he waited. None of them came back. Look, as pastors, we're supposed to be the ones more than any who represent Jesus, who are like Jesus, and who should be like Jesus. Jesus' first job, his calling, his DNA was to serve. We never get beyond the calling to serve. We serve for the rest of our lives. That's what we do. That's what I do. That's what we do. We have a motto here around our church that says this: whatever it takes, wherever I'm needed. Whatever it takes, wherever I'm needed. For me, who's the lead pastor here, to everyone, whatever it takes, wherever I'm needed, because that's what Jesus did. That's who Jesus is. He is a servant. He is a servant. He came to serve. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. So Jesus gets up from the table. He's waiting. Will any of these 12 All 12 knew their feet didn't get washed. All 12 knew somebody should do it, but none of them did. So Jesus gets up from the table, puts a towel around his waist. He's the king of the universe. He's the king of it all. And so he models. We pick it up in verse 12 of chapter 13. When Jesus had finished washing their feet, he put his clothes back on and returned to the place. He said, "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so, for that's what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than the master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Folks, there is a blessing that you don't tap into any other way by simply serving other people. In fact, let me say this. There is going to be, the Bible speaks about this, there is going to be awards giving out in heaven. Awards for how we, what we did, how we acted here on planet Earth. Doesn't get you into heaven, but once you're in heaven, only grace through Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. But once you're in heaven, we're going to be rewarded for some of the good work. There's going to be like an awards show in heaven. And I don't think anybody's getting slapped, okay? That's all I'm saying. I just don't think that's going to happen. Just saying. But there's going to be awards given out. And here's what I believe. I believe the people, this is just my thought. This is just Pastor Kevin's strange thinking. But I believe there's going to be people getting awards in heaven, the highest awards in heaven, who we have never heard of. Not the people that have the celebrity status and the known around the world and all this kind of stuff and have millions of followers. It's the people you've never heard of who simply served. They did whatever it takes, wherever they were needed. Nameless, faceless generation, people who served. I think we're going to be shocked in heaven on who gets the highest awards in heaven. Because people who serve, they serve, they serve, they serve, they served. And Jesus was the king of the universe, and he stooped down to serve. And as I think about serving, do you know where one of the most difficult places it is to serve? In the home. I mean, you tell me if this isn't true. A guest shows up at your house, right? A stranger, a guest, a friend shows up at your house. And this guest is there, and you're saying, "Can I get you something to drink? Can I get you something to eat? Do you need anything?" And you're waiting on this guest. Hand if you're just waiting on this guest. And somebody else who lives at the house says, "Hey, can I get something to drink?" "Get it yourself." You tell me that's not true. You tell me that's not you at your house. You'd be one big fat liar. Think about it. Why do we serve? Why do we love? Why do we treat total strangers better than the people we love the most? Why is it that familiarity breeds contempt and breeds competition? When in reality, those are the people we love the most. Those are the people we'd be serving the most. It shouldn't be that way, but we know it is that way. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ isn't done with me yet, and he's not done with you yet. And he's still changing our lives and changing our hearts. Changing our lives and changing our hearts to become more and more like him. That's what Jesus is all about. I love what one commentator said about this story. He said the disciples were ready to fight for the throne, but not for the towel. We need to be ready to fight for the towel and let Jesus worry about the throne. We keep fighting for the towel. We let Jesus worry about the throne. So what that means, on the drive home from church today, it means letting that car change lanes in front of you. It means waving somebody through at a four-way stop. It means holding that door open for somebody. It means serving somebody even when they act like a jerk. It means serving that family member even when they act like a jerk. Of course, not any of your family members, but other people's family members. Jesus served. Jesus modeled. And here's the third thing if you're taking notes. Jesus suffered. He suffered. I want you to see the end of the story. John chapter 13, verse 21. Very truly, I tell you. So this is still the Last Supper, still going on. So after washing the feet, he has a conversation. Very truly, I tell you, he's telling his followers, one of you is going to betray me. His disciples stared at one another at a loss as to what is happening and which of them he could mean. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. And Simon Peter motioned to the disciple and said, ask him which one. So leaning back against Jesus, the disciple asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it's the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. And most of us know the rest of the story. He went and betrayed Jesus that very night. Now, but here's the part I want you to know. Okay, here's the part I want you to get. Because all of us, most of us, have an image in our mind of what that Last Supper looked like, what that meal looked like. We get it from a very famous painting by Da Vinci. Here's a picture coming up on screen, okay, the very famous painting. Most of us know this painting. Most of us think of the Last Supper this way. But I hate to break it to you today, but that painting is fake news. It's just not true. That's not the way the Last Supper looked in culture of the day. Da Vinci got several things wrong, one of which, everybody's standing. They weren't standing during the meal. They're reclining during the meal. That's the way it happened back in the culture that day. The second thing is this. If you look at the table, there's little loaves of bread at everybody's station. Okay, this is the Passover meal. The Passover meal, there's unleavened bread. There's no yeast in the bread. They eat matzah, not leavened bread. There's no yeast in the bread. So that couldn't be that way. There's so many things wrong with that picture. So let me give you some of you going, oh my God, I got to change the whole way I looked at the Last Supper. Okay. Pastor Kevin, you're messing with my mind. Okay, so let me help you out a little bit. Go ahead and show the next picture. Here's the way it probably looked way more than what Da Vinci painted. Now, here's what you got to understand. Back in the day, the table was a U-shaped, okay? A U-shaped table back in the day. And if you notice, look at those blankets behind the table. Here's what happened when people ate back in Jesus' day. They didn't sit on chairs. They didn't stand. They reclined, meaning they leaned head forward into the table. They were on their left elbow in the right hand with their feet back away, and they would reach and they would get the food and take it with their right hand. That's the way they did back in Jesus' day. They reclined with like this, and they would reach and they would grab it like this. So they're all kind of just like reclining kind of next to each other. Now I want you to notice the positioning of the people at the way it was at the Last Supper. Notice the next slide. Now, those little white boxes aren't seats. Those are just to show you position markers for the 12 people and Jesus. Notice. On the far end of the table was always the guest of honor. In this case, it was John. John was the guest of honor. Next to him is always the host. Second from the end is always the host. The host is never at the end of the table. He's never in the middle. For some reason, the host is always in position number two. So that's the host. That's Jesus. So you got the guest of honor. You got Jesus. And then next to the host, back in the day, is always a close, intimate friend. Look who that person is. It's Judas. See, we look back on Judas knowing what we know now. We know Judas betrayed Jesus. So Judas has just got a bad name, and rightfully so. He betrayed Jesus. And even today in our modern vernacular, when somebody betrays somebody, oh, they're a Judas. But look, Judas hadn't betrayed anybody yet in this picture. And Judas was a close, intimate friend. The disciples were shocked when Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus. Shocked. Judas was the one who was trusted. He kept the money for the disciples. He was a keeper, the treasurer. He kept the assets. They were shocked when they found out it was Judas. So look what's happening here. Look what's happening. So you've got these three people. Remember, they're all reclining. So you got John on this end reclining this way, Jesus next to him, and then Judas next to him this way, and Peter's across the table going, "Hey, John, psst. Tell Jesus, like, who is it?" And so John leans back into Jesus and says, "Jesus, who is it?" And Jesus said, "It's the one who I dipped this into." So Jesus takes a piece of bread, leans back into Judas, and hands him the bread. You see, the one who's supposed to have Jesus' back is the one who stabs him in the back. I wonder how many of us have ever had somebody in our life who was supposed to have our back, but ended up stabbing us in the back. I can promise you, if you're in this room today and you're over 35, you've had someone in your life stab you in the back. You don't got to be 35 to have that happen. Everybody knows what it feels like to be stabbed in the back by somebody. Maybe it was a spouse or an ex-spouse. Maybe it was a brother or a sister. Maybe it was a family member. Maybe it was somebody you trusted. You put your deepest secrets in this person. You trusted this person with their deepest secret. They went on vacations with you. They were like your close, trusted confidant, trusted friend. This is how far Jesus went and was willing to serve. Jesus knew that Judas was the one who was going to betray him. He knew in advance. And he still washed his feet. He washed all 12 of the disciples' feet, including Judas. He knew Judas was going to be the one who was going to betray him to his death in just a minute. He still washed his feet. To what depth and to what degree are we willing to serve somebody? Knowing who this person is, knowing what this person did, knowing what this person might do, to what depth and what degree are we willing to serve other people? Because that's how far Jesus was willing to serve people for us. Some of you know the story. Jesus was betrayed that night. The following day, he went on a cross and he died and he gave his life, not just for the healing that we would get from the people who betrayed us, but he went on the cross for the forgiveness for all of us who did the betraying. Because I can tell you, in our lives, not only have we been betrayed, but let's be honest, how many times have we betrayed someone else as well? How many times have we shared something we weren't supposed to share? How many times have we posted something we weren't supposed to post? How many times have we done something we regret it to this day? Maybe we wish we had never done it. But when Jesus died on that cross, he took care of every sin we've ever done and every sin we will ever do. Hallelujah. Everyone who's ever stabbed you in the back, and anyone who you've ever stabbed in the back, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took care of it all. And he said, "Do as I've done for you. I've shown you a model. Do as I've done for you." So I want to remember Jesus right now together as a Miami Vineyard family. So when you walked in the doors today, you received one of these cups of juice. Could you locate that cup of juice for just a moment? If you didn't get a cup of juice, could you put your hand up in the air? And there's people around you going to bring you one of these. And could somebody bring me one of these too? Because somehow one of mine, somebody stole mine out of my. vineyard people. Thank you. I misplaced it somewhere. So if you put a hand up in the air, if you need one of these, don't be shy. There's people around you gonna give you one. Don't be shy. Put a hand up in the air. You're at home with us right now. It's not too late at home. Look, to find some juice, find some water, coffee. It doesn't really matter what the elements are because we're representing Jesus here right now. Find some bread, some toast, and join us. Cracker, join us with this right now. So let me tell you how these work, okay? Grab the clear plastic and pull that one back and expose this white wafer, okay? Clear one first. And then you can take and pull that purple one back and expose that juice. Don't take it yet. We're going to take it together here in just a moment. And here's what I want us to do right now. Go ahead. If you still need one, don't be shy. You still need one. Okay. As we're sitting here with these elements representing the body and blood of Christ, as I talked about just a moment ago, about somebody possibly stabbing you in the back, a betrayal that it could have happened for you and maybe from someone who you thought would never do the betraying. There's a name in your mind right now. There's an image in your mind right now. There's a person in your mind right now. I want to ask us to do something before we take communion today. Because as Jesus hung on a cross, he said these words. He said, "Father, forgive them." The very people who just nailed him to a cross, he said, "Father, forgive them." Jesus taught us the way to serve. He taught us the way for healing to come to us. And that's through forgiveness. So look, right now, whether you're in the room, whether you're joining me online right now, if there is a name, if there is a person who's betrayed you, you don't got to say it out loud, but just inside, I want you just to say their name inside and then say, "I forgive you. So-and-so, I forgive you. So-and-so, I forgive you. So-and-so, I forgive you." You might have forgiven them already 1,000 times before, but they're still coming back to your mind. It's still this, every time you think of them, forgive them again, forgive them again, forgive them again. So-and-so, I forgive you. 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 Communion is one of the greatest acts of forgiveness in the history of the world. I forgive you. I forgive you. So in the night before Jesus went to the cross, he took a loaf of bread. He broke it. He said, "Take this, eat this, and remember me." Let's take this right now. Let's take this bread right now. Let's remember Jesus. After he took the bread, he took a glass of wine. He said, "This wine represents my blood, which is going to be shed for the remission of your sins. For every sin you've ever done, every sin you will ever do, for the forgiveness of your sins, whether we've been betrayed or whether we've done the betraying, the blood of Jesus covers it all." Let's take this together. Let's remember Jesus. And even as you're praying with me here for just a minute longer, maybe let's just stay in an attitude of prayer here for just a moment. God, I want to thank you that you were on the move in this room and at our homes right now. God, you're on the move. And look, I know there's some stuff that was stirred up inside of you today. Remember what we talked about today. Jesus served. Jesus served. Jesus was a servant, knowing who was going to betray him, Judas. He still washed his feet. after people nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. I forgive them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Serving is not easy. It's not easy. It takes a humility of heart, and it takes an empowering through the Holy Spirit for us to be able to serve like Jesus served. But I pray that I could be a servant. I pray that we could be a servant, because the watching world is looking for people who will be like Jesus. To be like Jesus means to serve people. And I pray that we would be like Jesus, that we would serve even our enemies like Jesus did. So God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives today. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.